Middle East analyst Fawaz Georges says the next 48 hours will be critical in deciding the future of Egypt. Professor Georges is the director of the Middle East Centre at the London School of Economics and recently completed a 15-month field study in the region. He says we're now witnessing an earthquake in the Arab world, but that while the Israeli government should brace for a deterioration in its relationship with Egypt, the United States should not be afraid of the changes ahead. Professor Georges spoke to me earlier from London. Fawaz Georges, the protesters are still on the streets in Egypt and are not mollified by President Mubarak's dismissal of his government and appointment of a vice president. What options are now open to the Egyptian president?
I think President Hosni Mubarak is a liability for the institution of the army. He is a deeply wounded man. He is bleeding terribly. I would argue that regardless of whether he survives or not, Egypt will likely witness a new era of politics in the next few days or next few weeks.
What's your reading of him personally, though? Is there any chance that he will resign?
President Mubarak is a military man. He will fight to the end. So the consensus in Egypt is that the military institution in Egypt will not dare to challenge President Mubarak and basically ask him to leave, in the same way that the Tunisian military demanded that President Ben Ali pack and leave.
So that's a very interesting relationship there, isn't it? Because you say that President Mubarak is a military man, and yet we've seen a relative friendliness between protesters and the army on the streets over the weekend.
And I think this tells you a great deal about the predicament facing the Egyptian army today. The Egyptian army is trying very hard to basically find an honorable exit for President Mubarak. They want to find a face-saving formula for President Mubarak. I believe that the army is pressed between a rock, that is the future President Mubarak, and the harder place, the aspirations and the fears and the hopes of the Egyptian public opinion.
Well, Egyptian state TV is now reporting that police are back on the streets. What do you think that signals about the president's intentions?
It's a very significant move, because this tells me that the security apparatus is trying to basically regain momentum, that Mubarak is doing his best to survive.
And is the key here which way the army goes in its actions on the street?
I think the Egyptian military is the driver behind Egyptian politics. We will find out in the next few days whether the army has the will to basically listen to the aspirations of the people or to allow President Mubarak to remain in power.
What's your sense?
I think 50-50. My take on it, even if Mubarak survives, I think his days are numbered. And I think the opposition and the Egyptian people are united in their fundamental goal to basically President Mubarak out.
What did you make of President Mubarak's appointment of Omar Suleiman as his vice president? Could he be a path to a peaceful resolution? Because we're hearing some talk that the opposition leader Mohamed El Baradei has offered to join him in a transitional government.
Mohamed Baradei, the unifying figure within the opposition, has said very clearly he wants a transitional national unity government that basically prepares Egypt for elections and lifts the emergency laws. I think there is a great deal of opposition for Omar Suleiman among the opposition forces and also among the Egyptian public. The military holds the key. A formula could be found whereby Omar Suleiman, along with Mohamed Al-Baradei and other opposition figures, form a national unity front. But the question is, there's a great deal of uncertainty. The situation is in flux. The next 48 hours could prove to be really pivotal in deciding the future of Egypt and the future of the Mubarak dynasty.
And what about the role of the Muslim Brotherhood?
The Muslim Brotherhood is one of the most powerful oppositional players in Egypt. Ironically, they have been playing a very low-key role. Remember, the Egyptian regime has used the Muslim Brotherhood as a scare tactic to scare the West and say, if you don't support me, the Muslim Brotherhood will basically dominate Egypt and will conduct a radical foreign policy. The Muslim Brotherhood has learned from Mubarak's tactics. They are being in the background. They are the force that could really make a big difference in whether Mubarak survives or not in the next few days and next few weeks.
And what do you make of the US government's response to this?
The Obama administration is terrified. It's terrified of the implications of basically any political vacuum of authority in Egypt. If you listen carefully to the statement coming out of Washington, they have been trying very hard to walk a fine line between saying we support Mubarak, who is one of our major allies in the Middle East, but also we support the universal rights of the Egyptian people. What has happened in the last 24 hours shows very clearly that the Obama administration has made up its mind that a transitional government must be put in place, and obviously this speaks volumes about the loss of confidence of Mubarak by the Obama administration.
So how much panic would all of this be generating in other Arab regimes in the region?
Well, this is an earthquake. It truly is. It's what I call the Arab world's Berlin Wall moment. They're terrified because Egypt is the most pivotal state in the Arab world. If Egypt goes, the entire Arab world goes. And that's why what's happening in Egypt will have tremendous consequences, not just in Egypt itself, the most populous Arab state, the key to the Arab world, but also in Saudi Arabia, in Algeria, in Jordan, in Yemen, and other places as well. It's the end of an era and really the beginning of a new one. And you're going to have a new game of politics that focuses on democracy, on pluralism, on institutional transparency, not just foreign policy and opposition to Israel.
Is the U.S., though, right to fear the new politics that may fill this vacuum?
No, I don't think the United States should really fear the positive changes rocking the Arab world. What's happening in Egypt and Tunisia and other Arab states, this is a bottom-up social movement. This is about men and women of all ages, of all political persuasions, calling for freedom, calling for democracy. You don't see Egyptians and Tunisians burning American flags like the Iranian Revolution in the late 1970s. This is about change in the Arab world. Neither the West nor the United States should really fear the social upheaval rocking the Arab world.
What about Israel?
Well, Israel is terribly concerned, and in particular because Mubarak has been one of Israel's most important strategic allies in the region. And I believe, regardless of what regime basically replaces Mubarak, I think you're going to see deterioration in Egyptian-Israeli relations as long as Israel opposes a peace settlement that takes into account the legitimate grievances and rights of the Palestinian people. I think if I were Israeli prime minister now, I would be terrified. If Israel loses Egypt, this could be really a major strategic setback for Israel's foreign policy and Israel's current policies in the region.
Are we likely to see an explosion of violence throughout the region as a result of this?
No. I'm not talking about violence. A change in Egyptian foreign policy would likely bring about necessary change in Israel. I think, to my mind, a change in Egyptian foreign policy will bring about peaceful benefits for both Egypt, the Palestinians, and Israel as well.
Is there also a possibility that things could really degenerate in Egypt into terrible violence?
No, I don't think so. I'm hoping that the next 48 hours will bring about some kind of calm in Egypt. I think at the end of the day, I hope that the institution of the military will begin to negotiate with the opposition.
Professor Georges, thanks so much for speaking to us.
It's my pleasure.
That's Professor Fawaz Georges, the director of the Middle East Centre at the London School of Economics, speaking to me from London.